When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu roamed through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, he not only experienced the supreme happiness of coming to his eternal home, but he also envisioned Vrindavan, Dham, opening its doors for the whole world to come back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes we think that going back home and back to Godhead is something very far away. However, as Makhanlal Prabhu has explained, we're in Vrindavan Dham, Barsana. This is the spiritual world. It is non-different from Goloka. We have already gone back home, back to Godhead. We're here. It is just a matter of realization. Prabhupada told devotees back in 1960s that you are all liberated. And devotees didn't know what to think. Prabhupada is saying we're liberated, but you know, we know what's in our hearts, and we know what's in our minds, and we know what we do when people don't see us. We know what we do even when people do see us. And Prabhupada says we're liberated. Prabhupada says when you're following the process of Krishna consciousness, you are in a liberated state. As we purified our mind, we realize that. So by Prabhupada's mercy, we have come back home, back to Godhead. But in the association of devotees performing our sadhana, our bhajan, we can purify our heart. And actually, to purify heart is something very difficult. Have any of you ever come to that realization? When we first come to the Krishna consciousness movement and we read some books and we hear from devotees, we think, oh, simple and sublime. Just, all I have to do is just purify my heart and then I could go back home, back to Godhead, and I could see Krishna. It sounds so nice and it's so easy. But then we start chanting and hearing and associating and doing some seva. And then we realize more and more what a job it is to clean this heart. It's insurmountable. It's like an insignificant insect moving the entire Himalayan mountain range. And where are you going to put it? Multiply that by trillions of times. And that is how difficult it is to clean the heart. But when we chant the holy names, which is the Yuga Dharma, it is possible. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gati Aranyata. Why is it the only way in the age of Kali? In previous ages, by your efforts, just meditation, focusing, you could somehow or other clean your heart to some extent. But hearts are so dirty in this age of Kali. The heart of a saint in Kali is despicable by someone in Dwarka Yuga, Satya Yuga. Yes? When we're talking about saint, we're speaking about a holy man, sadhu. But to actually clean this heart, so difficult, so impossible. Only if we attract Krishna's mercy, then by the mercy of Sri Guru and Krishna, everything can be done. Cheto darpana marajanam bhava mahadevartina vapana. Therefore, it is the only way in this age of Kali. I can't do it. I am helpless. I am hopeless. I am fallen. Therefore, Krishna, I am crying out your name. O Srimati Radharani, mother of devotion, I am crying out for your mercy. Please make my heart a suitable place to please you. And when we chant the name in that proper spirit, then Radha and Krishna, who are non-different from their names, they clean our heart. It is in this spirit that we practice the Yuga Dharma of chanting Hare Krishna is crying out for mercy. And thus, we could realize, even today, that we are back home, back to Godhead. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was his desire, while tasting the sweetness of Vrindavan, in the ecstasy of Radharani's love for Krishna, he was simultaneously meditating on giving this nectar to his fallen, sinful, entrapped children in the age of Kali. And it was his instruction to the six Goswamis to teach people what is Vrindavan and what is Vrindavan consciousness. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan are manjaris, confidential maidservants of Srimati Radharani and the eight Sakhis in the eternal Goloka. Nitya Siddhas. They are not ordinary living entities. They are manifesting their mercy to give the land of Vrindavan accessibility even to fallen souls. And Srila Prabhupada explained that the six Goswamis taught how to cultivate the feelings of separation. He Radhe Brajadeva Ke Chalalite He Nanda Srino Kata. Prabhupada explained that when we think we're near to Krishna, the tendency is we become proud. Pride is such an envious, demoniac serpent. It just can just curve in any way to somehow or other infiltrate our consciousness. Therefore, the six Goswamis taught us to cultivate a feeling of separation from Krishna. Mahaprabhu, he jumped in the Ganga. He went underwater and didn't come up. Nityananda and Haridas had to pick him up by the head and by the feet and literally drag him to the bank of the Ganges. And they said, "My Lord, why did you try to end your life?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Why did you try to save my life?" The only purpose of life is to love Krishna. And I have no love for Krishna. If I even had a drop of love for Krishna, I would have died of separation. The fact I'm still living means I have no love for Krishna. What is the use of my life? That is the mood the six Goswamis taught. When we feel ourselves separate from Krishna, we become humbled by that, if it's a real feeling. And then we long and we yearn with great eagerness to please the Lord, to serve the Lord as the servant of His servants, praying for mercy. The six Goswamis taught us that in this spirit of separation, we should aspire always to be servant of the servant of Srimati Radharani. We do not aspire to approach Krishna directly, because Krishna is Radharani's property. The right-wing gopis are thinking, I am Krishna's property. Left-wing gopis, headed by Radharani, they understand Krishna is my property. And Krishna likes that most. So Krishna is Radharani's property, because she has supreme love. She's the ultimate embodiment of selfless devotion. She lives only exclusively for Krishna. There's that beautiful sloka in Lalita Madhava, where Srimati Radharani is in separation from Krishna. She's telling Lalita Sakhi that I will end my life. I cannot live in separation from Shyam Sundar. I cannot live. My life is only for His pleasure, only for His service. I will offer my spirit soul to the Lord, and whatever, and when my body falls to the ground, let every element of my body be utilized for Krishna's service. The earth element of my body will merge into the earth and become soft dust for Krishna to walk on and give Him pleasure. The fire element of my body will become light, so Krishna, give light for Krishna to look at Himself in the mirror and see Himself and be pleased. The water element of my body will fill the kunds of Vrindavan, will merge into the kunds of Vrindavan and be very cooling and pleasing for the pleasure of Nanda Nandana. The air aspect of my body, when the devotees are fanning Krishna with chamara, I will merge into that air and I will refresh and give a cooling experience to Govinda. And the ethereal elements of my body will merge into the space of Braj Bhumi and give Krishna the pleasure of performing His leela in that space. So in every sense, body, mind, words, life, she's sacrificing for Krishna's pleasure. Srila Prabhupada explains that the gopis of Vrindavan have absolutely not the slightest inclination for their own happiness. Their only desire in life is the happiness of Krishna. That is love. Where there is selfishness, as soon as there is selfishness, thinking in terms of I and mine, that is kama, that is lust. Real love is utterly selfless, an exclusive expression for all of eternity, that my body, my mind, my words, my life are for Krishna's happiness. And it is that love that Srimati Radharani, out of her supreme compassion, wants to give us. through Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya by chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna, he proved his supremacy in so many ways. How he just killed so many incredible, powerful demons when he was living here in Brajbhumi and in Dwarka, Mathura. Even the greatest of the demigods. Yes, when he was living in Dwarka, Lord Shiva had a fight with Krishna. It was a major battle. It's described by Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva and Krishna are having raging battle over Banasura. When you become influenced by your disciples, it becomes very difficult. Very dangerous if you become influenced by a neophyte disciple. Banasura was a good disciple of Shiva. He was good in the sense he was very much wanted to please Shiva. But he had his selfish motives. He knows Lord Shiva likes to dance. So he prayed to Lord Shiva, give me 1,000 arms so I could play drums. Then, oh, how you will dance. So Shiva was dancing and dancing and dancing, and Banasura was giving so many nice drums, and Lord Shiva gave him the benediction of 1,000 arms. But then he wanted to beat somebody with those arms, and ultimately he challenged Krishna. And when Krishna was about to defeat him, Shiva had to come to save his devotee. And then Shiva and Krishna are having fight. And Shiva throws the Shiva Dwaram, which just makes everything burning hot. It's like millions of suns, the Shiva Dwaram. Some of us have been inconvenienced in the sunlight. In the month of Kartik. The summer sun is something much hotter. But multiply summer sun by millions of times, that is Shiva Dwaram. It's coming right at Krishna, and Krishna sent Narayana Dwaram, which makes everything very cold. Prabhupada said, too much heat is austerity, and too much cold is misery. So ultimately Lord Shiva was conquered, and he surrendered his life, his soul, to Krishna. Similarly, Brahma, in a few days, the second half of the yatra, we will go to the place where Brahma surrendered to Krishna. So Mahan. Yes? And Lord Brahma tried to show his mystic powers before God. And little Krishna, who was then still in his Parganda Leela, taking care of calves, yes? he was Kumar Leela, taking care of calves. The Lord manifested such opulences that Brahma was bewildered and surrendered. In Govardhan Leela, Indra surrenders, defeated by Krishna. At Nandagat, Varuna understands the supremacy and worships Krishna. Yes? Indra, Brahma, and all the demigods at Govinda Kund perform the coronation ceremony of Krishna. This is a very important incident in history. After Krishna defeated Indra, Shiva, Indra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, everyone, all the demigods, they all appeared to perform Abhishekam and proclaim Krishna to be the true Indra, the controller of all controllers, and our Lord, Govinda. But Krishna, He wanted to reveal to the world who's the supreme controller of the supreme controller of all controllers. Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, they instructed and blessed Jiva Goswami to reveal this pastime to the world. Would you like to hear a very short summary? So Krishna has been coronated by all the devatas to be the supreme king of all kings. Krishna wanted to proclaim Srimati Radharani as the supreme controller of his heart. So Krishna approached Vrinda Devi and expressed that I want to have an Abhishek ceremony to coronate Srimati Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari, the queen of Vrindavan, the supreme unrivaled authority of Vrindavan. Vrinda Devi was very happy. So in an unembodied celestial voice, she spoke to Purnamasi and said that on a jeweled throne, perform an Abhishekam to proclaim Radharani as the supreme queen of Braj, and then all the world will flourish. Then that same voice of Vrinda Devi spoke to Srimati Radharani and told her, do not hesitate to accept the role of queen and participate in this Abhishekam, because it will be for the ultimate welfare of all. Then Kundalata, Gopi, she announced to all of Vrindavan that this Abhishekam was going to take place. So Srimati Radharani, very humble, in the service of her Gopi friends and the transcendental voice that spoke to her, she ascended the throne. There was a glorious Abhishekam ceremony. Purnamasi arranged water from Manasi Ganga, water from Yamuna. And they bathed Srimati Radharani. Then there was the Panchamrita with ghee and yogurt and milk and honey and sugar and Panchagavya, which is ghee and yogurt and milk, cow dung, and cow urine. Wonderful, wonderful Abhishek ceremony. And then there was singing of celestial songs and dancing. Everyone was in bliss. And the gopis dried Srimati Radharani's body with silken towels. Then they dressed her in beautiful garments, fragrant oils, ornaments. They decorated her body with the lovely forest flowers of Vrindavan and sat her on her throne. Then Vrinda Devi appeared and she proclaimed Radharani as Vrindavaneshwari.
Haribo.
The supreme queen of Vrindavan. At that time, the demigods, they showered fragrant flowers. The devas and their wives came and presented gifts, played instruments, and danced beautiful dances for the pleasure of Sri Radhika. Now that she's queen, the gopis and Radharani entered into a kunj in order to arrange how they're going to take care of the state of Vrindavan. So there was assigning of roles for the various gopis. And Lalita Sakhi was made prime minister. So Krishna, he appealed to Lalita Sakhi. He said, I want to do some service. And Lalita Sakhi said, Today Radharani has been coronated as queen, so everyone's desires in all of Braj will be fulfilled. Fill out an application. So he filled out application. And in essence, he wrote that he wanted to be the chief constable to travel throughout Brajbhumi and proclaim Srimati Radharani's glories. And in his application, he wrote, all glories to the Queen of Vrindavan. I beg with folded hands, every day I will announce the glories of our Queen, and I will ensure there is no thieves or any misbehavior in all of Vrindavan. So the gopis gave him a uniform, a turban, a coat, a medallion, and a golden rod. And Krishna, taking this role, he traveled through all the 12 forests of Vrindavan, crying out very loudly, Vrishabhanu Nandini is our only queen, and I am her lowly servant. This was his pride, to proclaim this to all of the devotees in Vrindavan. Everyone was supremely happy seeing Krishna's divine love for Srimati Radharani. But Krishna had to come and report his activities on a regular basis. So one day when he came to report, he secretly hid his flute under the veil of the Prime Minister. And she didn't know it. And Krishna, after explaining what he had done today, in a very innocent voice, he said, but today someone stole my flute. And Vishakha Devi said, very good. Finally, we can get peaceful sleep. Prime Minister Lalita Sakhi, she said, you lost your own flute? You're supposed to keep thieves out of all of Vrindavan and someone stole from you? You are incompetent. Hand in your resignation. Thakurji, Lord Krishna, he said, I think one of the supreme cabinet members stole it from me. Everyone should open up their veils. So all of the leading gopis opened their veils, and when Lalita Sakhi opened her veil, flute fell to the ground. Krishna said, I think the Prime Minister should resign. Lalita Sakhi said, you hid your flute in my veil because you want to usurp my position as Prime Minister. Now, you must stand before the Queen, Srimati Radharani, and take an oath whether you hid your flute in my veil or not. Krishna was trembling. He came to the throne of Sri Vrindavaneshwari. And he approached and bowed his head at Radharani's lotus feet. And Srimati Radharani smiled. She said, by your desire, O Nandanandana, you made me dance by making me the queen of Vrindavan. I fulfilled your desire, but now, please, fulfill my desire. Take off this costume of being a constable. Put on your peacock feather with your Vajayanti mala and sit on this throne beside me. In this way, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna sat on the throne together. And Krishna proclaimed to the whole world through this pastime that it is only by the mercy of Srimati Radharani that he is sitting on the throne by her side. Divyad Brindaranya Kalpadrumadha Sri Manarat Nagara Singhasanasta Sri Sri Radha Srila Govinda Deva Kristalabhi Sevya Manos Madhavan. Sri Sri Radha and Krishna are sitting on a beautiful jewel throne, worshipped by all their confidential, pure-hearted devotees in the land of Vrindavan. Here in Barasana, when we meditate on these beautiful pastimes with grateful hearts, we get some idea of the importance of the mercy of Srimati Radharani in our lives. Makarlal Prabhu was explaining so nicely. She is the original guru on the highest level of sweet loving services to Lord Krishna. And our parampara, especially from the time of Madhavendra Puri to the present day, all of our acharyas are only aspiring to be the servant of the servant of the servant in the camp of service of Sri Radha. So many pastimes here that we can hear. But please know, the substance and the earnestness of our devotion and dedication and service to Guru and the Vaishnavas is the only possible way to qualify ourselves. We have seen how devotees, Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they came knowing nothing and by their mercy took the holy name, learned the holy scriptures, had access to the teachings of the Goswamis, and then wanted to leave their service and just live in Vrindavan and do their bhajan. Prabhupada was so disappointed, he practically wept tears of sorrow for such people. Can you imagine? Most people will think this is the greatest thing in the world. Leaving a city like Chicago or St. Louis or Bombay or Calcutta. In fact, we have devotees from London and from Kiev and from Moscow and from Melbourne. So many places in the world assembled with us during this yatra. Rome. So it seems like a nice thing, a great thing, renouncing everything and coming and living in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada practically cried in sorrow for these people. What will you understand of Vrindavan? You'll understand Vrindavan through dedicated service to your guru. That is where you will find Vrindavan. In fact, there was a sannyasi who was in charge of building Krishna Balaram temple, and he was just too much. It was too much for him. Just arguing with construction people who were trying to cheat him and, you know, counting the bags of cement and dacoits, making threats. He wanted to just do bhajan. Prabhupada said, seva to your guru is what is going to win the heart of Radharani. But that seva to guru must be understood in full. There was other devotees who were so absorbed in just doing service, they neglected chanting their rounds. They neglected reading the Holy Scriptures and attending Srimad Bhagavatam class. And when they actually lost their taste altogether and their faith, Prabhupada was not surprised. These people were doing so much immense service. It's unbelievable. Yes? Mm. Immense service. They were leading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotees. They were taking so much responsibility. But they had no time to chant Hare Krishna. Actually, they had time. They just didn't see it as important. So they fell away. So service to Guru means dedicated to the mission and working very hard, but part of that dedication and working is the instructions to chant at least 16 rounds attentively every single day, to worship the deities, or assist in some way, to hear the glories of the Lord regularly. This is service. Very balanced approach. And that is the way by which we can actually please Srimati Radharani. Her servants who have given their lives to do her mission in this world. If we don't satisfy them, will she cast her loving glance upon us? So let us understand Vrindavan in this way. Sahajya means to take something very high, very cheaply. Some of the places we'll be visiting, I will explain briefly. We described that Lord Brahma appeared as the mountains of Bharasana. He has four heads. There are four hills. One is Bangar, which is the home of Rishabhanu Maharaj, Kirtida, and his three children, Sridhama, Radharani, and Ananga Manjari. The eternal place of that home is where we have just been, Sriji Mandir, or Larali Lal Mandir. One great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of the name Narayan Bhat Goswami, he lived in Unkshagan. The second half of Yatra, we will be visiting Unkshagan, which is the birthplace of Lalita Sakhi. He performed his bhajan there, and in the service of the six Goswamis and Lord Chaitanya, he performed a very, very great service to humanity by reviving many holy places in this area of Braj. And he discovered the ancient deity that was personally made by the great grandson of Krishna, Vajranabh. And it is that deity that is in the temple where we have just come from. Where we are now, this is called Dangar, place of... Dan means...
Charity.
Now, usually you think charity is something you give willingly from your heart. Well, the type of leelas that took place in Bharasana of millions of times more unconditional and selfless than that. We'll be visiting Sankarikur. where there is two hills, one representing Vishnu and one representing Brahma. And they intersect at a certain point where leaves only a very, very thin passageway to cross from one side, Chikshali side, to the village of Barasana. So Srimati Radharani and gopis, they would bring their butter and yogurt and ghee through that passageway. Now some people say they were going to the market to sell, but actually Vrishabhanu Maharaja's palace was magnificent. He had hundreds and thousands of cows. Whatever Radharani and gopis did was only an excuse. They would tell mother that, Bhaguri Muni is performing a yajna, there's nice Brahmins doing yajna, they need some ghee, so we're going to go. Oh yes, yes. Whatever the Brahmins, we are all servants of Brahmins. But their only purpose was with the hope that Krishna would be there to meet them. And he would be there as the tax collector. He would block the path, along with a few of his friends, Madhu Mangal, Subal. And you have to pay tax if you want to cross this toll station. What is this? What is your authority to ask us for taxes? Krishna said, I am the servant of the king Kandarpa, and he has ordered me to excise proper taxes from all of you. According to your beauty, you must, and according to all beautiful parts of your body, you must pay tax. And we'll begin by taking your milk, yogurt, and ghee. Hare Krishna. So they would refuse. The gopis would say, "But who is this Kandarpa? The queen of Vrindavan is Radharani. You should pay her tax because your cows are eating grass from the ground that belongs to her." So they would have these nice arguments. And ultimately Krishna would, so many things would happen. Sometimes they would have sticks and they would push the butter and the ghee off from the heads of the gopis. And there are still places where the spill marks of those butters and ghees are in the rocks. Just to glorify that lila. But one day, the gopis decided we should teach Krishna a good lesson. So they sent just a few gopis with pots of butter on their heads, and hundreds of gopis were hiding in the caves and in the bushes. It was an ambush. Krishna came with his friends, only a few of them. "You have to pay your tax. What is our tax?" And then all of a sudden, all of the other gopis appear. And they tied Krishna, Madhu Mangal, and the others, they tied their sikhas to the trees and to the rocks. And they chastised them in so many ways. Madhu Mangal was really in desperation. He was saying, I'm a Brahmin. You cannot treat a Brahmin like this. I'm innocent. I didn't do anything wrong. It's because I'm associating with this Vaishya, Krishna. He's getting me in so much trouble. Release me. Do you know what will happen if you offend a Brahmin? And the gopis just laughed and laughed and laughed. So ultimately, they only released Krishna, who was tied from behind. They snuck up and tied his hair to a tree. They said, "You have to bow down and pay your tax to the queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani." So he bowed down. And he said, "I beg forgiveness. What can I do in return? Now you can tax me." And Srimati Radharani said, how can I tax you? It's only proper for me to tax you if you become me and I become you. So Radharani took form of Krishna, and Krishna took form of Radharani. And then Radharani, actually, the gopis dressed Krishna up as Radharani, and then they dressed Radharani up as Krishna. And then they perform, and all the gopis dressed up as gopas, and the gopas dressed up as gopis. And they perform the same tax, pastime. But this time Radharani, in form of Krishna, was stealing from Krishna in the form of Radharani. Yes? And this one pujari from this temple, just next door, told me that those deities, because this is Dandan, the place of these taxes, that these deities, he was worshipping the deity of Krishna as Radharani, and the deity of Radharani as Krishna, in honor of this Leela. Another time they did the same thing. They dressed Krishna up as Radharani, and then they put a pot of yogurt on his head, and he was just helplessly, at this time his hair was still tied. He was dressed as a gopi, and Lalita Sakhi was on a mountain, and she threw her stone, and it broke the pot, and all of the yogurt spilled all over Krishna's body. Abhishekam. So many beautiful pastimes of love took place here on Dhanagara. There is also Vilasgar, which is just across the way, which we can see, a very beautiful temple on a mountain, where very sweet, loving pastimes of Radha Krishna would be enacted. And there is Mangar, the place where Srimati Radharani would take shelter when she wanted to please Krishna with her anger. Perhaps we will go there a little later. So let us, in our yatra, really try to take shelter of the chanting of the holy names. As we're chanting in kirtan, as we're chanting our japa, as we're traveling from place to place, please don't allow your mind to wander here and there and everywhere. Yato yato nishchalati manas chanchanam astaram. It is the nature of the mind, even in Vrindavan. After millions of lifetimes, we come in contact with Parampara, and we come to Vrindavan, and sometimes our mind is running to some other place for some mundane thoughts. How many of you have had that experience since you've been here? How many have not had that experience since you have? Thank you for your honesty. So this is tapasya. Tapasya doesn't mean just fasting till your skin and bones, or depriving yourself of all sleep. Six Goswamis, they did that stuff too. But that wasn't really what their tapasya was. They were always absorbed, totally absorbed. Krishna kirtana nartana, but they were constantly absorbed in harinam sankirtan, japa, constantly absorbed in discussing with one another the topics of Krishna, the mission of Mahaprabhu. That is Vrindavan. So while we are here, let us really perform this tapasya of trying to force our minds to just be fixed, absorbed in Krishna. I know I talk too much. It is a habit that I'm trying to dovetail in Krishna's service. I don't know what's happening, because before I was a devotee, I never said anything. Every teacher would tell my mother in report card, Your son is so shy, he never talks. I never, in all my grade school and high school and whatever little college, I can honestly say I don't remember asking one question to any of my teachers. Even if I had a question, I was just shy. I'm making confessions, I guess. So my teachers would say, he's so shy, he never talks. And my mother would write back, she said, well, you should come and visit our home and see what's happening. But I'm actually like that. But somehow or other, Prabhupada ordered us to speak whatever you have heard from me, whatever you are hearing from the acharyas through me, you must tell others. How is this possible? What am I going to say? When I came to New Vrindavan, I was just a pujari. I didn't have to talk. I was just doing seva. Oh, so nice. I never had to give class because during class was New Vrindavan. It wasn't like where you chant japa and then you greet the deities and then you Bhagavatam class and then breakfast and then brahmachari class and all these things. No. Wake up 1:30, 2 in the morning, finish all your rounds before Mangal Arati. Right after Mangal Arati is Tulsi worship, Guru Puja, breakfast, and then work. Hare Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam class. Yes. So I was always dressing deities during class, so I never had to talk. But Prabhupada said, you must speak what I... So I'm sorry, somehow or other, I'm making up for lost time. Somehow you have to tolerate while I'm going through whatever I have to go through in my life. But whatever. If the subject matter is Krishna consciousness, we should be eager to hear. We don't want to waste a second. Rupa Goswami describes that sincerity in Krishna consciousness means not to waste time. Every moment is so precious. Death is fast approaching. So while we are here in Vrindavan, we should actually be practicing for the rest of our lives, training ourselves to think of Krishna at every moment. By attentively listening to the classes. By participating in the kirtan. As we're walking from place to place and the speakers are... So much energy is going into the sound system so that as we're walking through the groves, everyone can participate in kirtan. Yes? I don't know how much it's working. There's almost 1,900 people in this yatra. Could everyone hear the speakers? Could everyone hear now? Sorry about that. We should be really eager. Focus your mind. Absorb yourself. Bhakti means absorption. Bhakti doesn't mean just some formality of chanting with your mouth. Bhakti means absorption, absorbing yourself in the holy name. That is why kirtan is there, absorbing yourself in your japa. And when you're meeting each other, absorb yourself in speaking about Krishna, reminding each other of Krishna, reminding each other of service to Krishna. That will really be the great fruit of supreme benefit of this yatra. in the holy land of Vrindavan, which is so conducive to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna, surrounded by almost 2,000 devotees. Where could it possibly be an easier, more favorable place to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, and chant his holy name?
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Krishna Krishna! Hare Hare!
This temple, Radha Kushal Bihari Mandir, was built by one of the great kings of Jaipur. It is said that he built this temple because the Ladderli Lal temple at that time was very small, with these ancient worshipable deities. So he built this temple here to move those deities here. And you can see what a beautiful, magnificent temple this is. Can you imagine what it would cost today to make such hand-carved stones? We have a fraction of realization at Radha Gopinath Temple. But when it was complete, he was going to come and have retreats, himself, his ministers, all to come and spend time here and together worship the Supreme King of all kings and Supreme Queen of all queens, Radha Gopinath. But when everything was done and the installation was to take place, Srimati Radharani appeared to him in dream and said, "My home is the next hill. Do not move me." So then the Shuji Mandir was built in a very nice way. Let us pray that in Dangar, the place of charity, that we will offer our hearts through our words, our thoughts, our actions, and our lives in the loving service of the servants of Sri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Jai Sri Hare. Thank you very much. We will now continue.
Brahman can talk. Brahman gives his
Krishnananda wants me to tell one more story. Should I tell or? And the order of Krishnananda, I will speak something more. When Krishnananda Prabhu gives an order, it is a very fearful proposal to consider disobeying. By the way, while we're on the subject of Krishnananda Prabhu, I'd like to announce something very auspicious. Are you ready? Anything regarding Krishnananda Prabhu is auspicious. He's really absorbed in Krishna. Sometimes to the extent that people don't know what to do. Krishnananda Prabhu, as of yesterday, the first day of our Braj Yatra, was commissioned by the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust to translate into Hindi Sanatan Goswami's Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Let us all pray for Radharani's blessings upon him and her holy abode of Sri Barasanatha. Because ultimately the Brihad Bhagavatamrita is simply to glorify Srimati Radharani's love for the whole world. Would you like to tell the story? Radha and Krishna, you'll see at Dhangar, there is a beautiful place where Radha and Krishna would perform their julam, or swing pastimes. So Radha and Krishna were together there with gopis. At that time, a Brahmin approached. That Brahmin was in a very pathetic state because his wife told him that he wasn't allowed to come back home until he came with enough dowry to marry their daughter. Hare Krishna. So he approached Krishna and he said, "Oh Krishna, the whole world knows that you always protect the Brahmins. So please protect me. I have no money, nothing, but I have a daughter and she's at marriageable age. And you're the son of Nanda Maharaj who has 900,000 cows. So please give me enough charity to pay the dowry for my daughter's marriage and thus protect me." And Krishna asked, "Who am I protecting you from?" The Brahmin replied, "My wife. If I come home tonight without enough money for this dowry, she won't let me in the door. And you know how that is." So Krishna said, "I'm sorry. I don't have anything. I'm just a simple cowherd boy. I don't have anything." So the Brahmin began to cry. He cried and walked away. He said, "You must have something." He came back and said, "You must have something." Krishna said, "I only have one thing that is of great value." He said, "The greatest wealth I have is Srimati Radharani. So on this day, I vow to give in charity Srimati Radharani to you as a donation." And the Brahmin, he was in greater anxiety. He said, I'm already in trouble. I have one daughter and no money for dowry, and you're giving me another daughter. My wife will never accept this. I cannot accept her." And Krishna said, "I've already done the sankalpa. I've already vowed. She's yours. I can't take her back. She's yours." The Brahmin cried and cried and said, "I cannot accept, I cannot accept," and started walking away. Srimati Radharani, who is the mother of compassion, who is the ocean of compassion, she said that when someone comes to us, he should not walk away in such an unhappy state. Let us help him. So Krishna called the Brahmin back and they put Radharani on a scale. And all the gopis put all of their precious jewelry on one side of the scale until it equaled the weight of Srimati Radharani, and then they gave all of that to the Brahmin. And he became very happy. But what is the supreme jewel of all jewels? that that Brahman received the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar. So these are some of the wonderful pastimes that took place here. Did I tell the story right? Is there anything else? Oh, best of the editors and translators. Huh? Would you like to speak something? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.